When I came in Paris, I was doing set and costume designing, so I wanted to, and that's what I thought would be my profession, you know. So when I was in Vancouver, I was told to go that see that guy who was the director of the Frederick Wood Theatre in UBC. I went to see him, and he said, "Oh, you should meet that woman, Helen Goodwin. She does very interesting work. She teaches dance at UBC, and I think you might like to meet her." So I did, and yeah, we connected, and then she invited me to be part of the group, but not as a designer, only as a dancer, which because I had worked with dancers in Paris, with modern dancers. So, and I became quite involved in the dance part of it, you know. And then I did a little bit of. She didn't need much costuming, and you know, and her dancers were very visual, you know, like Judy Schwartz, you know, is a visual artist now. And they were doing each their own thing, so under her direction. But I became one of the group and a friend of Helen. And in fact, the first time I came to Hornby was with Helen Goodwin and her group, and that was in 67. Yeah, 68. Yeah, it was all 67, 66, 67. So I came to Hornby in the 67th summer, and with a group of dancers, and we camped in Heron Rocks on the Toby Island. And the idea was to come and dance here, and she had a whole bunch of people, and we went to the beach and covered ourselves with seaweed and did some moving on the beach and the forest and all that, you know, quite exotic. And yeah, and that summer I traveled with her also to California. She went to Big Sur, and so I traveled with her and her husband and son. And so I spent quite a bit of time with her. And then I met Wayne, and I moved to Hornby a bit later, and then she would come and visit me on Hornby, stay with us.
Really, I
And then
didn't have no idea that she'd been to Big Sur, because I spent quite a lot of time
Oh,
in Big Sur.
yeah, it
Yeah.
was the summer of 67. She went not very, for very long. She must have gone. I don't know if she went to check or for a workshop. And I knew her husband also and her son. And
What's his name? The
Mike,
husband. Mike?
Michael.
Michael?
Michael Goodwin.
She was looking after him. He had cancer at the
Yeah.
end, didn't he?
Yeah, and he died.
Right.
Yeah. And but they were not
Together.
together. Yeah, they were separated. But then he was in a.
He came back to live in her in their
Yeah.
house, but he had left.
Well, she sold the house. She had a house in close to Spanish Bank,
Yes, that's right.
and she sold it, and then she bought some kind of an apartment in on Maple Street, you know, close to Kitsilano, and which was fairly small. And then he was in a really bad state, like destitute, you know. And that's when he came and stayed with her.
Was he an engineer or something like that?
No,
No.
he was doing, I think he was doing real estate for a while, but he wasn't, he was in some kind of business, but I don't think he was a very good businessman, and he drank.
I see. Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So he ended up, he was a taxi driver, a cab driver, and then couldn't even do that anymore, and he was sick. And the family really got broken when the son died. That was, his name was Simon. He was a beautiful boy, you know, and he died of an accident in a camp, in a boys' camp, in the early 70s. He was about 12.
He
So
was
that's
about 12.
12, yeah, and he was the only child. And all I did, they were kind of mismatched, Michael and Helen. You know, she was totally an artist and bohemian. He didn't understand her world at all. And I don't think she understood his world at all. But maybe the difference was good for a while. But, you know, they really lived in two different worlds and then was drinking. And they were both British, so they had that in common.
Oh, so they met and emigrated together.
Yeah.
Before
and had a son.
Had a son here.
Yeah. I don't know where he was born. Yeah, because he was already quite old. He was about 8 when I met Sam. And maybe a bit younger. And so when he died, it became worse and more difficult. But I think she was really broken. No, it was the beginning of the end for her.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 74 when it happened. I don't remember exactly, maybe 73, 74.
Well, then she wrestled with depression for years after that.
Yeah.
Right.
She went to New York
uh-huh.
to do some dance and study, and it sounded very interesting. Oh, she was studying drumming also,
That's right.
tabla, you yeah. know. And she was very adventurous in her explorations, you know, of various areas of art. And so she was in New York for a while, and then she came back, and things were not the same in Vancouver, and she couldn't really get to go out and dance. Although there were those people who really liked her and admired her, but she didn't have the same spark, I think, that she had before. And and she became quite idealistic and unrealistic. Unrealist. And wanted to do things which really didn't work well, were not practical. So there was some disappointment also. And it was like she was out of touch with reality. So.
She was setting herself up for failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see her at that
time? I did, yeah. Because I was teaching at UBC in the late mm-hmm. 70s.
Yeah.
And with a group of students, I involved her in a performance festival.
Yeah.
She directed. I asked her to come and direct some students
yeah.
in performance, and I guess that was I can't remember when she died, but it must have been shortly after that.
80 in the 80s, early 80s.
Early 80s, that's yeah. right. And at the time, yes, she was involved with an African society where she was doing drumming,
yeah.
and she was involved with people there too,
yeah.
I think. And I think she had a job, bit of a job there or something, even you know.
Yeah.
She was, I don't know, cultural coordinator or something like that.
Yeah.
And but she seemed very reticent to get back out and do anything, but, yeah, hollow and missing something
yeah.
at the same time. Mm-hmm. She was always, of course, I always knew her as, she was not a contemporary of mine. She was maybe a generation or so
yeah.
beyond me. So,
yeah.
you know, I didn't really know her personally that way,
yeah.
and I never danced with her or anything
yeah.
like that. I knew her during Intermedia as an artist and a
yeah.
performer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's. I was coming from Paris where I did some modern dance, but it was more formal than what she did. And for me, it was a real eye-opener to work with her. I really liked the way she worked. I think it was quite unique. She was friends with, I think her name was Anne Halpin in San Francisco, who was a dancer and did that kind of work. So there was quite a bit of exchange there. And so I think that was a strong influence in her work. Yeah, it was really good.
So was she a contemporary of yours? Were you peers, or
she was a little bit older than me, but we were friends. Maybe we stayed in touch somehow, and also I was on Hornby, so it was a nice place for her to come. So she kept on coming. She came with Michael, and I don't know, maybe she came with Simon also. She came after the accident. And also when the accident happened, he was in a boy camp, you know, and she might have felt some guilt because she wasn't with him.
Right.
She was quite absorbed by her art. And I guess Michael fulfilled quite a bit that function, you know, of being with a child, you know, when she wasn't around. So it was good for that. She was giving dance classes also to media, which I was taking.
So what were her dance classes like?
There were exercises, you know, sequential exercises, like modern dance.
So,
you get a body limber, you know, nothing really special in the. But then there was a practice, you know, for performances, which were very, very open and very improvised and spontaneous, which is something which I've been interested in since, you know. And which the same thing happens in art, of course, in a painting, so, you know, with a different medium. But I like that almost zen quality, you know, where you don't know what it's going to be until you do it. And also her dancers, like, they all had very, very different personalities. They had strong personalities, her dancers. And she let them do what they wanted also, I remember. Like, there were quite a lot of pieces which were choreographed by the dancers. They did their own piece, and it was very good what they did. She encouraged them. And there was something very, very creative about what they were doing. Very interesting. And so, even they were really young people, you know, like young in 20, 21, you know. I was a little bit older. Like when I met Helen, I was 27. And she must have been in her early 30s, something. I'm not too sure, you know, but something like that.
So she went to San Francisco with a group and studied with Halpin, right? Is it Halpin?
I don't know, I don't know if it was a group. I think she was friend with her.
Yeah, no, it said Gail reports in her thesis that she went with her company down to San Francisco, and they spent a month there doing a workshop. Yeah, Judith was quite dramatic, wasn't she? I mean, she dressed, she had charisma, she was charismatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very kind person also. A big, big heart, and I think that's why the world was a bit hard for her, you know, eventually. Mm-hmm.
I think there's more.
She was having fun also with dancing, Helen Goodwin. She liked to have that kind of fun, you know, fun, creativity. Yeah. I remember how she would get really excited by an idea, and totally go for it.
She was very infectiously enthusiastic, wasn't she?
Yeah, also,
yes, that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like she gave herself fully to what she was doing.
Passion.
Yeah. And she would have parties in her house also, I remember. And she would invite everybody. The house was very open.
So tell me more about when you came to Hornby and danced.
The first time? My very first time on Hornby?
Yeah.
Well, Helen was friend with Bud Wood, who had a share in Dance Point, which is where we are now, where I live. And then we came to visit them, and they invited us to go to the right on the point the next day. It was an evening when we first saw them. It was dark, and we sat on the beach and drank wine with them. There was a whole bunch of people, and Bruno Fasquet and so on, and all of us, the dancers. And then we came back the next day, and we went to that point, and there were all those twisted arbutus trees, you know, the arbutus wood. And they were like dancers, the trees. And I remember, you know, when we saw that, oh, we have to dance among those trees. But I don't think we ever made it to dance among the trees, but it was so neat to be a group of dancers and then see all those trees which were like dancers. And then I came back a year later, you know, I moved to Hornby. And a year after, I moved to Dance Point where those trees were, you know, and dancer trees. But we danced, we camped on Toby Island, which is off Heron Rocks. We all came there. In fact, we slept under the stars. And we were all group, and we got to know Hilary and H.B. Brown, who were running the place. And then I became friends with them later on because I moved to Hornby. And I remember we had a supper with them. And then again we did everything. Everything was a bit of a pageant with Helen. Because we brought food to their place to eat. And we each had a bowl of something. And we did it like a parade. We costumed and we carried those balls in our arms or on our head, and it became a dance itself. And there was nothing which was specifically done with what we did on the island, except that we really had a good time for a few days. And we did dance naked on the beach, with covering ourselves with seaweed and so. But I don't think any photograph. There were photographs, but I don't remember that.
What was Helen's background in England in terms of dance? Do you know?
I don't know too much, but she did dance in England. You know, she started in England.
Similar to your background in France?
Like
more classical?
I wouldn't know. Like my background, it was called modern dance, and it was very, very progressive in France compared with ballet, you know, classical. And but still, compared with what Helen was doing, it was then it could have been called classical, you know, because it was very choreographed, very formal, but dancing barefoot and doing a different movement than ballet. I think the big influence was really Anne Alpin in San Francisco.
Did you meet her?
I might have met her once, very briefly. I heard a lot about her. I think she changed. She got into more spiritual practices and incorporated them to her dance. She must have been involved with Essamen and Halpin. I wouldn't be surprised. Because that was the thing also which was very new for me. Mm-hmm. Coming to Vancouver, I was coming from Paris. Mm-hmm. I'd been educated in Paris. And I was thinking, you know, coming from that international capital, you know, to a fairly small town, Vancouver, you know, which I didn't know much about. And for me, it was an eye-opener, you know, like doing the dance with Helen Goodwin was much more advanced than anything I'd seen in Paris at the time. No, I'd seen a little bit of dance from New York, you know, Merce Cunningham and Paul Taylor. So, but it was still choreographed music. And like Helen choreographed, but there was a lot of freedom within the choreography for the dancers. And so, yeah, it was an eye-opener, you know, and then that whole hippie things, which I found really fascinating, you know. We knew about it in Paris because there were lots of Americans coming through, but it wasn't implanted at all because the French were very reticent, you know, towards it. All of them, young or old, you know. It came much later in its own way. Something else was happening in Paris, which was interesting, so, which created 68 in Paris, and the revolution, the student revolution, but it had a different form.
It's more intellectual,
yeah,
and political.
Yeah. And not so much drug involved.
Emotional.
So when I went down to California with Helen, she was going to Big Sur, and I stopped in San Francisco and met with a friend of a friend, sit with her, and then I went to eat Hashbury, and I explored the whole thing, you know, and then I went back to Vancouver, came back to Hornby to meet with Wayne, who I had met, you know, and I just moved. And then decided that was it. I had to go back to France, otherwise I would get stuck in Canada. But I didn't want to. So I went back to France, but I'd fallen in love with Wayne, so I came back. Wayne came to France, and then I came back to Hornby. But, yeah.